to From the Ground Up podcast. Here I am, Michaela, a host of yours today.
And I'm your other host, Abby.
And we're excited because we get to hang out with Tyler and Mona Lisa from Wake Clothing Company today. Hello.
What's up?
Hi.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good. Welcome to the studio. I'm honestly so pumped to get to talk to you guys again.
Yes.
So to get things started, we're just going to thank our sponsor.
Today's sponsor is MarketBeat. MarketBeat is an online research tool that allows its users and investors to find real-time financial data and best-in-class stock research tools. No matter what you're looking for or when you're looking for it, MarketBeat has everything you'll need to come out on top. You can take a look for yourself at MarketBeat.com.
Woo woo, MarketBeat, our favorite. All right.
All right, shout out to MarketBeat.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes, and MarketBeat is very local, right down the road from us, I believe, right?
Yep, right there on 8th and Railroad.
There we go. Cool.
They have one of the coolest offices in town.
True. Yeah. To be honest, yes.
Wait, do you guys do anything with MarketBeat?
No.
No, I know Matt Paulson.
The owner. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, shout out to them. So, yeah, before we get started, do you guys just want to explain a little bit of Wake to us? Just what it is in a description?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ooh, how do we explain this? Where do we start? So, I think I'll just rewind it all the way back to 2016 when I developed the idea for Wake. So my background in the arts or, you know, in the creative field started when I was just in high school. You know, it started with dance. I went to a performing arts or arts school halfway through high school. It's called Gallery 37, right downtown Chicago. That's where I'm from originally, Chicago, Illinois. So, yeah, I went to art school to, you know, study just the fundamentals in dance, you know, get my arts education there. And there's a fashion program at this school. And I hung out with most of the kids that were in that program. It just really inspired me and intrigued me, you know, how creative these people were and just really sparked, you know, that interest within me for fashion. And I will say personally, growing up in a city like Chicago, streetwear fashion, all of that is very much a part of the culture in Chicago. You know, a lot of things, you know, for streetwear fashion comes out of Chicago. You know, the shoe that people love the most, you know, Jordans, Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, that stuff, sneaker culture, streetwear culture plays a big part in Chicago. So going to this school, you know, and being exposed to that and being downtown Chicago where, you know, after school, I can leave and go to Saks Fifth or Nordstrom's or Barney's and look at the designer clothing, feel the fabrics, all of that, you know, just really sparked that interest. And I knew at some point in life there was something I wanted to do with fashion, whether it was t-shirts or whatever, but I didn't know exactly what. So in 2016, fast forward back to 2016, I was living right here in South Dakota, actually Aberdeen, South Dakota. I moved there to teach dance, and I just met a place in my dance career where I'm like, okay, I'm realizing that the very successful dancers are dancers that are business owners, entrepreneurs, whether owning a dance convention company or a dance company or whatever the case might be. I realized, like, bro, you're not gonna, you know, become super successful financially just from dancing. You gotta, you know, figure some other things out. So that's when I started to venture in the world of business ownership, entrepreneurship, reading tons of books, listening to tons of podcasts, all of that. And went to the drawing board, you know, just with that idea to just create. And I ended up creating our first logo, the infamous logo that we're pretty much known for, which is the Wake Eye. And it pretty much just came right out of me. And I was going to sell it on canvas prints on my photography website. But at the time, that wasn't practical. I didn't know much about e-commerce, how to ship big canvas prints. So I started with t-shirts, you know, just that idea popped back up in my head from high school. So I got some t-shirts printed. And yeah, that's kind of where I started. What's funny is Mona Lisa was actually the first person to buy a Wake t-shirt. We were friends at the time. And,
Facebook,
you know,
friends.
I was using all of my
always mention that
Facebook friends. I was using all of my sales tactics that I was learning and all of that stuff. And I got her. She bought a t-shirt.
Sure did.
Yeah. But at the time, you know, my idea was so big for Wake. You know, I didn't officially start the company. I was just kind of testing it, doing my research, doing my studies. I started studying people like Ralph Lauren, Gucci Oguchi, just really diving into the world of fashion and studying, you know, its roots, you know, the essence of fashion, you know, the art of it. Studying, you know, again, companies like Ralph Lauren, you know, just studying his story and how he started his empire and just really educating myself on that. And it kind of crippled me, I can't lie. So anyone listening to this podcast today, I'm really big on just starting. When you have an idea, just start. Don't sit back and talk all day about something. Do it. And that's coming from a place of being vulnerable, because I sat on that idea for 2 years. And if it wasn't for Mona Lisa, honestly, I probably wouldn't have started until like 5 years later. So yeah, just start. You know, when you have an idea, and when it's a idea that literally causes you to lose sleep at night, I think that's something you should entertain.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. I keep hearing that talking to all these people. They like just shoot for it when you see it.
Yeah.
And it's really wild to like listen to how you grew up in Chicago, especially growing up in this area. So it's what makes me excited for your guys' company, because like our culture here is not like that. Like we can't walk down to like, you know, after school
to a hype store,
fashion place. Yeah. So I love your guys' brand and what you're doing, just how you can like bring that piece into our culture in the little Midwest here. But and then also tips on getting a girl, guys. Use your sales tactics.
He really did, man.
Use those sales tactics.
And it's funny because at the time I was living in Fargo, North Dakota. Ooh. And my mom was living in Redfield. I don't know if you guys know where that is. It's a small, small town.
Yep.
And I lied and I was like, I'm going to go see my mom for the weekend. But really, I wanted to meet him. And he was like, oh, okay, can we meet up? And I was like, yes, that's what I wanted.
In Redfield?
Man, that would be some story right there.
No, okay, so my mom lived in Redfield, so that's like 40 minutes from Aberdeen. So I was like, I'm gonna go see my mom, but really I wasn't really going to see her. I actually just wanted to meet him and see him, but I was too nervous to be like, hey, let's meet up and hang out, you know, like, so I made a whole lie, you know, like I'm gonna go see my mom, but really I wanted to see him. So
and what's funny is like, people that know Mona Lisa personally know she had like a baby face, the cheeks and stuff. Oh, so God. Imagine a Mona Lisa 5 years ago or whatever, 6 years ago.
Don't make fun of me. I'm like,
yo, hold on.
He was like, are you a child? I'm like, no. No, I'm of age, I promise.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
So you guys met, and then was this in between while you were starting your Wake idea?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So during that time, kind of like he said, he did a launch of the t-shirts, and after that he kind of got lost in like the feeling of feeling overwhelmed and stuff, because he wanted, you know, to take Wake high fashion and stuff. So he didn't really know. So he moved back to Chicago, and then we didn't talk for a couple of years, actually. So we didn't talk for like 2 years. And then I've been through some stuff. He's been through some stuff that kind of brought us back together. And so during that time while he was staying in Chicago, I was back in Aberdeen. And we were just talking for like almost a year straight, and it was just friendship wise and stuff. And then eventually we obviously caught feelings and stuff. So he got a one-way ticket back to Aberdeen,
oh,
South Dakota. Yeah.
Come on now, don't make it all about you. I was moving back anyway.
No, you weren't. You messaged me, you're like, I got a one-way ticket.
Okay.
Don't even.
It was about her.
So when he got that ticket, obviously, like, we started hanging out and stuff, and we both had a entrepreneur mindset. I knew since I was little, I always wanted to be a business owner. I would always tell my mom, I don't want to work for no one. I want to be my own boss. I've always said that, but I didn't know what until I was older and realized I love fashion. So anyway, he moved back. We actually started selling sunglasses on eBay.
which it was his idea at first. So during that time, Wake wasn't in our mind at that time. It was, okay, what are we going to do to make some money? And so he was like, do you want to start this reselling sunglasses with me? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? We started on eBay, and then that's when Poshmark started. And I found out about Poshmark, and I told him, I was like, we should get on this. And it was super easy to make money on Poshmark then. Like, it was so easy. And so we started selling sunglasses on Poshmark for about 4 months. We made 10 grand from that. And from that 10 grand, we both knew that, like, okay, it's almost winter. Like, sunglasses aren't going to do that good in the winter, especially the Midwest and stuff. So we knew we wanted to do something more. At that time, I've always wanted to start my own boutique called La Mona Lisa. Like, how silly.
How French of you.
Yeah, like, that sounds so weird. No, I'm so glad we didn't go with that. But during that time, I wanted to start a boutique. I wanted it to be different, edgy, risky. We're both risky people, edgy people. And then I realized it was late at night. I was up in bed. He was working overnight. And I thought about Wake. And I was like, you already started Wake. Like, let's just do this. I texted him late at night. Like, we got this, babe. Like, let's do this.
All caps.
Yes, literally. And he was like, are you sure?
Slow down. Let's talk about this. Slow down. No, I'm joking.
Oh, I was like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And the next day he came home. At what, like, when did you get off of work?
I got off, so I worked overnight. So I went in at, I think it was like 9 o'clock, and got off at like 9 in the morning. And yeah. I did that for 7 days on, 7 days off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was best, you know, it was good working that way because I was able to use my time,
yeah.
You know, really use my time during the day and use that 7 days off to pour my time into, mm-hmm. you know, reselling things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. But yeah, he got home and we right away did the LLC, got our first shipment of crew necks and t-shirts. And we're like, we're going to do this thing. It's funny because during that time I was like, we're going to get rich right away. We're going to be so successful. And he was kind of just looking at me like, okay. It didn't happen that way. It takes a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of obstacles, and a lot of failures. So,
and let me say this too, because earlier you mentioned when mm-hmm. you were younger, you wanted, you know, to be your own boss. Yeah. You didn't want to have a boss. And I think that's a misconception in business. A lot of people think, you know, okay, I don't like anybody bossing me around. I don't like anybody telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm a leader. I'm going to start my own business. And soon after, you're going to find out your customers are your boss at that point. You
True.
Know, you're working for them. Yeah. You want to work less? That's what you think. Starting a business is about working less. Nope, you're actually going to be working more. So
mm-hmm.
that's a big misconception with business. Oh, I'm going to start a business and be successful with it, work less. I'm not going to have anyone bossing me around. But it's completely different than that, you know, in our reality. Business is really, I believe, just a perfect comparison to life because there's ups and downs in life. There's things we go through in life that, you know, we can allow to crush us or, you know, make us a better person. I think where we are mentally, you know, and where we are within our lives directly reflects through our business. And if I'm not in the right mindset, or if I choose to allow something to keep me down for a long period of time, that's going to reflect through my work. That's going to reflect through my business. So that's one thing I love about business. Mm-hmm. It really helps me to, you know, become a better person every day and you know, just aim to, you know, just being the best that I possibly can be.
Mm-hmm. Is that a mindset that you had during this time when you first started, when things took a while to get going? Or is that something you've learned
while doing that? Learned for sure. Cause I think when I first started business, I was very ignorant to the fact of like, we actually have to put in work. We actually have to work for the sales. We have to get our faces out there and our brand out there. So, you know, in a sense, I felt like I was a little entitled to it. And it came with a lot of obstacles during that time. So, I would say like a year and a half in, that's when I really realized, like, wait, like, no, this is work. Like, I actually have to stay, you know, consistent, be consistent, work through it. I have to work on myself mentally, because during that time, you know, our brand is about self-love and self-awareness. So we've always made sure that's our lifestyle as well. Yeah. But, you know, we're human. Like, we're not always our best, you mm-hmm. know, and that's another thing people think, that since our brand is based on self-love and self-awareness, that we are just these like superhero people, like that we just have it all figured out. And that's so wrong. But a year and a half, I realized, like, okay, wait, I need to fix some things within myself to be a better person and be a better business owner. Because if I'm not doing something right, like within myself, then that's going to showcase through business. It really is. And so I would say like a year in, I was like, okay, I need to like actually work on myself a little bit.
Yeah. Just having that kind of mission where it's like personal and like you can really like move towards it is kind of like the best kind of mission any business can have.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. And that's what's so fulfilling for me, you know, just owning a streetwear clothing brand that's based on self-love and self-awareness, because seeing others cling to that message and, you know, decide to walk down a path in life that is based on growth, whether in family, business, financially, you know, personal, it is so fulfilling. And like Mona Lisa was saying, some people might think that we have it all figured out because we own a brand that's based on that message, self-love and self-awareness. But, you know, a lot of times just the community aspect mm-hmm. of it and seeing how good our customers are doing in life and hearing that, wow, this message behind Wake is so empowering for me. I went and started my own business, or I started working on this within my family. That inspires us. You know, mm-hmm. people think that we're inspiring them when in our reality, the people that follow Wake, the people that shop this brand or that is really connected to the message, that truly drive us every day.
Yeah, I think it's, I love when like we get messages like of our customers or, you know, people following our journey, like, you know, you have inspired me to start my own business or get out of a toxic relationship. And that right there, it's like, that's what keeps us going is, mm-hmm. You know, we want to help people. We want to inspire people and encourage people that no matter what you go through, you can and you will overcome it. You just forward, you know? And so that's really inspiring to us.
I think a business that doesn't have something behind it that they want to give the world besides a product, like besides something that is going to contribute to people's life, is kind of like having a building with nothing under it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, no matter where your product is going or changing or creating, mm-hmm. like you have that mission. And would you go into that a little more?
Yeah.
Like where that came from?
Yeah. I think that's so important. That's one of our main goals, is like our mission statement. And then it comes our product. I think nowadays, like, people buy things because of an emotional connection. For us, like the clothing, it's emotional. Whether it's they're going through such a hard time in life, they're going to put on that Wake sweatshirt and feel self-love, feel that awareness, feel like I can overcome. Really important to have a mission behind your brand, because again, it's like, if you don't have a mission, like, what is your why? You know, like, what do you keep going for? Like, you need to have a why behind your brand. That's what keeps it moving, keeps it going, and keeps it growing for sure.
Absolutely. And when you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you feel empowered to take on life. Yes. And that's what it's all about for me. I remember being in seventh grade at best day of school, because, you know, everybody laid their outfit out the day before. Yeah. Like, I'm going to wear these shoes. Yeah. I'm wearing this outfit. And is a great indicator on how fashion is utility. It's a part of our lives. Yeah. You know, people view fashion as just clothing, but it's much more than that. Yeah. You know, fashion is utility. You know, fashion is something that we experience with some of our senses, and it's an important part of our life. You know, we wake up, we choose an outfit that we're going to leave the house in, or we choose an outfit that we're going to walk around the house in. You know, clothing is a big part of our lives. And the way we feel about a particular piece of clothing is very empowering, you know. So that's what's so empowering for me. And that's why I love the arts and I love fashion so much, because it's really something that we can utilize to better our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've combined your mission with your actual, like, your creativity and your artisticness and your talent and, like, your research you've done. You combine those together into this quality, but yet, like, it has thickness to it. Like, it has mission to it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for other entrepreneurs that may be a bit nervous about, like, communicating with their clients or customers and, like, how they should just, like, keep that relationship?
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, we're all people. And I think one thing that we're seeing in today's, you know, this day and age is everyone has a perspective that they want to share and no one wants to listen to someone else's perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go on Twitter, you see so many arguments today and it's like, okay, people really just want to be right all the time these days. People don't want to listen much. So I'm very intentional about listening. You know, I post my little inspirational tweets here and there, and you know, I speak to my audience on social media when I feel led to. But outside of that, in real life, I'm very intentional about being a listener. I don't want to be the loudest person in the room, you know. And there's, like, there's this thing in the world where it's like being the loudest person in the room is something to be praised about. But I don't feel the same way. When I'm in a room, I want to be a listener because I want to learn. I want to absorb from everyone around. So I think that plays an important role in dealing with customers, because at the end of the day, we're solving someone's problem. Someone's buying a shirt because there's an emotional connection to it. You know, they're trying to solve something within their life, whether they're going to an event in 2 weeks and they want to look good for it, or they just want to look good on a day-to-day. They want to have some comfy clothes to wear to work. You know, people are, that is a thing that's happening now. People are starting to, you know, dress more comfortable these days in streetwear, going to work, a hoodie, sweatpants, that sort of stuff. So I just make sure that I'm very intentional about being a listener. You know, when a customer comes to us about whatever, I want to listen to them. I want to hear what they have to say. And I don't want to react. I don't want to share my perspective right away. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to what it is that they have going on and be of service to them, you know?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. I think you said it perfectly. I think one thing I'll add in there is that's why it's so important to make sure where your mental state is at, where it's at, because if you're not having a good day, like, you need to be aware of that, because you could mess things up with your customers, you know? So you just have to be aware of, like, wait, is my cup filled? You know, if it's not, take a couple of days, 2 to 3 business days, and then go back to that customer. Cause you know, sometimes it can be hard too, like, especially if you're having a bad day, bad week, like, you know, we're human.
It's hard to be intentional with others when you haven't, like, took in that intentional time with yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is hard to understand sometimes, but that's what I love about what you're talking about is, like, we have this opportunity as people to be so much more, but I think we get stuck in that, like, just surviving mode instead of that, like, cultivating mode.
Yeah. Because we all want to react and we all want to be right. You know, I promise you, just take a look at social media. Every week, there's something that people are arguing about. Everyone wants to be right. What's the problem with being wrong about something? You know, failure is very important when it comes to being successful, because the more willing I am to fail, the more willing I'm going to be to learn something, the more willing I'm going to be to accept those wins and just walk with them with a humbleness about it, you know? Because wins, they aren't about us. You know, we go through so much in life because when we experience that win, it's meant to be a blessing to somebody else, you know? If I had it all handed to me overnight, how can I empower other people with my story? I wouldn't be, it would be empty. I wouldn't have a story to share if it all just, you know, came to me right on my lap. I have to go through failures. I have to go through struggles. I'm not going to be right all the time about things. And that all is meant to be a blessing and be empowering to someone else.
Yeah. I think when people hear those stories, it can be a part of, and this is, it's going to be like, wow, you're cheesy, but it's going to wake them up. Like, and that's what I think of. with your band. It's yes. like,
wake
it's,
up.
Wake up.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. Wake up. Yeah. Wake your like, booty up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
So awesome. Would you maybe talk a little more about like the know thyself, and would you say what that is again?
Yeah, know thyself, love thyself. So
yes.
It does derive from the ancient. I say ancient because thyself is just such, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ancient. And adding the E for us was just a way to modernize it and just make it cool, you know? So know thyself, love thyself. It's all about that, you know, knowing who you truly are, knowing your shortcomings, you know, where you fall short every day, knowing the pieces and parts of yourself that you need to work on a daily basis, and knowing what's, you know, beautiful about you, what's unique about you, all of that stuff, and loving all of those things, like truly loving it, not in a sense of like self-care or anything like that, but like really loving every part of yourself, you know, the things that you, even the messy, the things you don't, the things you don't necessarily agree with about yourself all the times, you know, just accepting those things and loving them. And I believe when we can accept those things is where, you know, true growth is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really like that. I think that a lot of the times nowadays with like social media, everyone's like self-love, but it's like, are you actually putting in the work to maintain that self-love? Or a lot of people may think self-love is just like self-care, like going to get your nails done, going to get your hair done, like, oh, self-love, I love myself. Yeah, that's an act of self-love, but are you actually putting in the work to be a better you, to be a better you, to be a better you for the people around you? Like, or is it just level, you know, surface level things, you know? So I think just being aware of like, wait, am I actually loving myself? Am I going through what I need to work on? Am I being aware of maybe the shortcomings or the battles that I deal with inside? So I think that's important too.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, we're about halfway through the episode here, so we'll give you two a bit of a break. Drink your water. So Michaela can shout out Market Beat again.
Yeah. Market Beat is our sponsor for today, as we said. And Market Beat is an amazing resource for creating the most accurate and most comprehensive data sets while empowering more than 2.5 million investors to make better trading decisions by providing real-time financial data and best-in-class stock research tools. Whether you're looking for a consistent dividend income or trying to find the next GameStop, MarketBeat has the objective information needed to analyze any stock. You can learn more about MarketBeat at marketbeat.com. All right.
Woo-woo-woo.
Abby, would you like to get back into it with another question for these two? Yeah.
So, marketing. What types of things do you guys do for Wake in marketing?
Everything. Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo.
Everything.
That's something that we love. Man, that's such a packed question because I think that's the backbone of business is being good marketers. If we look at companies like Coca-Cola, who doesn't know about Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola is marketing when they're not even trying to market, you know? So just looking at their history and just diving into that and just realizing what it takes to market, I think they're a great company to look at. Marketing for me and the way I see it, to just, let's just, you know, put it in layman's terms and just simplify it. It's exposing yourself to potential customers, you know, exposing yourself consistently to the masses, to potential customers within your market. So we are very big on that. You know, when it comes to social media, we hammer every platform, social media advertising, we're in it, print, all of that, billboards, word of mouth, you know, just really creating a community that talks about our brand. Email marketing, text message marketing,
blogs,
all of that type of stuff. In order to be a good marketer, you have to do everything, you know.
Pop-up shops.
Pop-up shops. And I really believe that it really depends on, one, your target market, what type of product you're selling, all of that. Because if we look at brands like Lamborghini, they don't have commercials. They really don't need to market their products that way. It speaks for itself just based on the innovation, the technology behind it, all of that good stuff. You know, you look at companies like that.
Yeah.
They're super, super innovative companies in terms of marketing, engineering. You know, they've mm-hmm. done groundbreaking things, and they can sell a $400,000 car without having a commercial or a billboard for it. You know, mm-hmm. It really depends on what market you want to tap into and who are you selling to. Clothing retail is one of the hardest businesses, you know, to be in. It's one of the toughest industries. So we are very intentional about hammering everything in terms of marketing. You know, we want to be like a Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. You think of them. I had a conversation about a week ago. 93% of the planet knows about Coca-Cola.
That's crazy.
Like the entire world knows what Coca-Cola is. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But that doesn't deny or take away from the fact that there's other brands like Coca-Cola, like Pepsi, you know? So I think that's a great indicator of marketing. Like, wait, this company is tapped into 93% of the world. That means there's a market there for me to sell a similar product. I can tap into and grab some of those customers too. So I believe that's a good way to look at marketing. You know, is there people out there that need this thing, and how do I reach them?
Mm-hmm. You said it perfectly. I honestly would have said this.
You said it perfectly. So I ain't got nothing to add to that.
So when it comes like season to season, like fall versus summer, does like the type of marketing that's most successful change?
Oh, no, but we do obviously have like a better season. Winter, of course. I think fall fashion is so amazing. You can literally like style like so many cool outfits different ways. You can layer it up, boots. So fall, honestly, do you have an input on
Yeah, it really just depends. Yeah. It depends on what you're aiming for. You might be a brand like Wake that isn't trying to hammer down on Christmas shoppers. You know, Wake has this mysterious vibe to it.
Yeah.
So we're really intentional about that when it comes to that brand. You know, we don't get involved with things so heavily like Black Friday and all of that stuff with Wake.
Right.
Just based on the market that we're tapping into, a customer that is interested in more quality clothing, more luxurious type of clothing, you know. Now with our new brand, They Self by Wake, we're doing all of that, Christmas shoppers, Black Friday, all of that fun stuff. So yeah, from season to season, like Mona Lisa was saying, you know, during our fall winter season, we're layering stuff on top of each other and using that in our marketing. You know, how can you dress warm for the season? How much can you layer these clothes for the season? Fall and winter is personally my favorite season for fashion because you can wear anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. And two, I think with retail and stuff like fall, you know, holiday shopping. So I think with retail, like the winter is amazing for retail. You know, obviously we do have some down months like after holiday season is over, like no one really wants to shop, so that's when we really have to be innovative and get people's attention and attention to come and shop with us. But definitely like fall and winter for sure.
Especially around here, it gets cold, people just start craving like sweaters
and yes,
they're like, yeah. Even like this year when it's been so warm,
yes.
I think everyone back in like October was like, no, I want a sweater now. It's still 60 degrees.
I live that way.
See?
Even today, it's not that cold, but I'm like, I want like a million layers.
Right.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about streetwear fashion too. You look at streetwear fashion brands, we're selling hoodies year round. Mm-hmm. There's no off season for a hoodie. People love hoodies. So, you know, we did a survey about a year ago on how many hoodies people have, you know, in their closet. And we were getting answers like 50 hoodies.
60. I'm like,
60 hoodies, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I feel like that's even like specific to this area in a way.
Yeah, true.
There's all these small towns with all their school sweatshirts that they all kept for 50 years.
Yeah.
And now, like, the trend in fashion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but to have like ones that look like they came straight out of your grandma's closet is a big thing right now.
And vintage.
It's grown.
Yes.
Yeah. So who is your guys's target audience? And like, what would you say is the way that you specifically are reaching them? Like, specifically is your favorite way to market, I guess.
Social media. It's free. Like, business owners, if you're not on social media, like, get on social media, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, literally everything. Like, social media is amazing and it's free. So why not? So that's our favorite way. Definitely social media. And two, we are an online brand. So like, that's how we connect with our customers through social media. Our target audience is definitely young people, people who are going through trouble. We want to target troubled people so we can, you know, help them, you know? Yeah. And so people that like going to the bars, like, smoking, honestly, you know, like those type of people, very troubled people, honestly, that's our target audience. And from, I want to say 16 to like 25. So.
And no shade to anyone that smokes. I was going to throw that in there. No shade, but that's our target audience. You know, like she was saying, concert goers, bar goers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Adventurous people.
Yeah.
Risky people. I mean,
that's like Mona said earlier, that's us. You know, I have a past growing up in Chicago. I can't imagine how my mom felt. Now that I'm a parent, I can't imagine how I made my mom feel. You know, I feel bad about it sometimes to this day, some of the troubles my brother and I put my mom through. But yeah, we want to reach people like ourselves.
And with our new brand, we do want a more like larger audience. So the clothing is a little bit more classy, modest. So with that, all the way up to like 30, 35. So,
For sure. And kind of what you just said, I think, answers this question a bit, but what do you think makes you guys stand out in your market with your competition?
I think it's the fact that it's very personal. Because if you look at a lot of retail clothing brands, it's just about the clothes. It's not as personal. Like Mona Lisa said, I've said that like five times because, you know, that's just how, you know, we're on the same page with all of this. But, you know, we're just very intentional about making it personal. We don't talk about the product that much. And when people receive the product in the mirror, they're like, wow, the quality of this is great, you know, when it comes to Wake. But we don't focus on product so much. We focus on the mission and just making it very personal. So I believe that's how we diversify ourselves when it comes to clothing, because we're not just doing it for clothing. When you think about fashion, fashion is an experience, and we want to make it an experience for people with streetwear fashion or with our new brand, They Self by Wake. You know, if you look at luxurious fashion brands like Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, they make their brands centered around the experience for their customers rather than the clothing. You know, if you look at their runway shows, their stores, there's this experience behind it. And we're bringing that energy into the world of streetwear fashion and e-commerce, retail, that sort of stuff. So,
And two, we build relationships with our customers. Like, that's our number one thing. When we have like events, they're not just coming to shop. Like, they're coming to talk with us. They're coming to talk about their struggles, what they've been through in their life. And so we build those relationships with them and make them feel special. Like, you know, they're out of their day, out of, you know, their hardworking day, they're coming to spend money with us. So we can, you know, we want to build relationships with them. We don't want to feel like, oh, here, give me your money and then bye. No, like, we're building relationships. So I think that's the number one thing too, is building that relationship, that connection.
Your guys' intentionality really pours out just, with your guys' energy as you talk. Like, you make me want to slow down and listen a little better and be like, wait, maybe there is something that I should stop and think about. Maybe I do need to like this part of myself. Like, if you like, your guys' mission shines out of you and it makes people think. And so I can't imagine your customer interactions. Like, yes, you're dealing with your product, but your initial mission flows out of you as you do that business.
Yeah. So thank you. Cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Like, vulnerability is important for us because we're not perfect all the time. No. So we're vulnerable with our customers too. We might be having a bad day and we start a discussion about it on one of our social media platforms, or we talk about it. And that's another way for us that we build that personal connection, just being vulnerable about what we're really going through. We never want to get in a space where we're putting on this costume and trying to be these unrelatable, superhero, perfect business people. No, you know, at the end of the day, we're just human beings. We're creatives inside of that put on a business costume sometimes. And we want to create that space for a conversation and vulnerability through our brand. You know, I'm going to be a business person when I have to, but what's most important to me is being a person, you know, so.
I like that.
And being a person with other people, like not just out on your own, but with other people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of a change in like topic here, but like, what, how do you guys handle like official business tax, like taxes or bookkeeping and stuff?
That's not mine.
Ooh, especially this being creative.
Yeah. This is an ongoing conversation. I think this is another very important part of business that people don't look at when they're thinking about starting a business is the financial side of things, taxes, all of that. So we do have a CPA that handles all of that for us. So we just make sure we're clear about our goals and communication with our CPA so that we can structure things the right way. I do handle budgeting and just the very basic stuff to have a good idea and understanding of what ballpark we want to be in and aiming for that. And he does all of the other stuff. And I think it's important to, you know, have a really good CPA too, being in business, because you want to have someone that's just 100% focused on the different, you know, tax codes, all of that sort of stuff, that understands what's going on in the government, that is up to date on all of the changes, because it's ever so changing. Having someone, having a CPA is important in being in business, because when you're building a business, you don't have time to focus on that stuff all the time. You know, you're building a business to focus on your customers, to reach your customers, to create experiences and products to better their lives. You know, you're not going to have time to study government all day, you know. Right. So having a a professional that handles that and that's on the same page with you and that that respects you and your business and your business's mission is important.
Yeah. For anyone listening who doesn't know, a CPA is a certified public accountant.
Yes. Thank you.
Did you not know?
Nope.
That's why I'm in this class.
So far in college, I've taken like 3 accounting classes. So I'm kind of in that I did not like those classes.
Is it hard? Like, I cannot imagine.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
Unless you're going into accounting, you really don't see much.
Yeah, I just had this understanding that most people start them and then don't finish accounting class. Because everyone I talk to, they're like, nope.
One of my real good friends is accounting major. So I guess she's...
Yeah.
God bless those people.
Taxes is literally government. I never understood when I was a child, like, why are all these people always arguing about these politicians? Yeah. Taxes is government, you know. That's really what it is. So if you want to learn about taxes and stuff, just... you know, learn about government and what they're doing. Pay attention to what they're doing, you know.
So you have like a CPA, you said. What other type of positions in your business, if any, are there? Like, do you have a lot of people working for you? Who do you have helping you? Do you do most everything?
So right now it's just Mona Lisa and I. We do have an intern. We're partnered with Joe Foss, which is a local high school here in Sioux Falls. And we're partnered to offer internships for their students, you know, to come learn about business and, you know, get their hours they need to graduate. So right now we do have an intern, But for now, it's just Mona Lisa and I. In terms of long-term goals, we do see ourselves being a company with 500 employees someday. So being 3 years into business, there's been a lot of educating ourselves on just being a leader, being a follower, having mentors, having people that we can go to and learn from that has done the journey, that understands what it means to lead someone properly. You know, having those people in our lives are important. So when that time does come where we have a team of 20 people, you know, we can be the leader that they need. So a lot of people view being a leader as just being a leader, but a good leader is a good follower as well. You know, if we aren't willing to follow, how can we lead properly? And sometimes that's even following your team, you know, listening to their ideas, making them feel like they're a person that's valued. I think that's important within business, having that culture, you know, around your company, a place of understanding and listening and being able to communicate properly and empower, you know, your team to go out and win and fail when needed, you know?
Yeah, I remember last time we talked about just bringing up how, like, the USF culture of service, and how I remember you talking about how you just said something about when you go to someone and you're like, hey, how can I help you out with this? Instead of going in, I don't know, you said something like last time we talked to you.
That's a good point, because we get it all the time. People, whether it's an email or a DM on social media, we get it sometimes in the way that I believe you're meant to approach someone. And sometimes we get it in ways where you're not supposed to approach someone. When you're starting a business, there's Google. Utilize it.
YouTube.
Utilize it. But I'm going to throw this out there. If you're approaching someone that's successful in business and you're interested in learning something from them, always offer value up front. Because every time I get a DM like, who's your clothing manufacturer? How did you start a clothing brand? In my mind, that makes me feel like an object. I don't feel like a human being at that point. I don't feel like you're concerned with who I am as a person. I don't feel like you value me as a human being. You're just trying to snatch information out of me. So we have to be very intentional about addressing successful people and leaders in a way where we're offering value to them up front and making them feel like they're a person. Because let's be honest, not all the time do leaders feel like people, you know? Leaders deal with a lot of problems that they don't get to voice all the time. So it's very important that we treat them with respect like human beings. Hey, can I take you to have lunch sometime? I would love to buy you lunch. I just want to have a conversation with you. What do you like to do? You like golfing? Oh, can I go along and go golf with you? That sort of stuff. Never approach a successful person like, tell me who your manufacturer is. Like, it never works. You're going to get ignored, and I'm not going to open your messages or answer you. You know, that's just not how it works for me. Everyone that has ever approached me like a human being, like the human that I am, I always entertain that, because for me, I'm not a person that wants to hoard knowledge. I really don't. I don't believe that it's helpful to me to hoard knowledge. I don't believe that it's helpful to others to hoard knowledge. I want to give away the things that I've learned and be of service to other people. And I think that's one of the most human things we can do. But we got to remember, when we're reaching out to people, you know, if we're someone that wants to learn, we got to be human too. And even myself, that's something I'm intentional about. Like, hey, let's go have lunch. Let's do, you know, I would love to just sit down and talk with you. So just being intentional about that.
Yeah, I think that encompasses a lot of things that you've said about being humble and about learning and about growing is to, and about relating with people. Just being human with other people. Is there anything that you guys just have burning in your hearts to share on the podcast before we start to wrap it up? Is there any other information that you'd just like to give to someone who's inspiring to start their own business?
take action, honestly, just take action and keep going. And even through the obstacles, just know that there is light in business. You're going to go through a lot of failures, probably more failures than wins, and don't give up. Even when you feel like you're at your last moment, just keep going, keep having faith, whatever you believe in, have that hope, have that faith, and just keep pushing at it. That's like the biggest tip I can give business owners is just, and always learn, continue to learn, continue to grow your mind. Don't let your pride and your ego get in the way. If I'm being completely vulnerable, that was me at one point, very prideful and ego. And that actually did a lot more damage to us than bring us more blessings. And so I think just making sure you're humble and not getting so into your head about, oh, well, I did this, I did that, you know, like all these blessings are coming my way. Like just continue to be humble, be human,
yeah,
and keep going.
Absolutely. Because again, the things that, you know, that come into our lives and that we're blessed with, you know, they're there to be a blessing to someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
I think just not being so hard on yourself all the time, because we live in a culture where it's this hustle mentality. Go, 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 go. Don't sleep. Get 4 hours of sleep. Work, 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 work. Be easy on yourself, people. Yeah. You know, what are we in a rush for? A lot of people that are in a rush, I can relate to those people because I didn't grow up with much. I grew up, you know, pretty poor. So a lot of the times that's why we're in a rush. But sometimes just slow down and just take a moment to be grateful, because while we're in a rush, we're forgetting about all those things we have right now that we can be grateful for. And gratitude is one of the most important keys in life. You know, when we're experiencing sadness, when we're experiencing, you know, frustration, hardships, that's because there's a lack of gratitude somewhere. So just being grateful for the things we have already and just, you know, counting our blessings and being thankful that we can be in a position to work, work, work when we want to, I think is important. So just being grateful, you know, just being grateful for life, being grateful that we can start a business, that we live in a country where we can start a business. Because let's be honest, you know, there's so many people that move to America for that opportunity. So just being thankful that we're in a country where we can start a business, you know, where we can capitalize. And yeah, that, I think that's just important to life.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being so vulnerable and intentional with your words today. I said it before and I'll say it again. You guys are like a mitochondria.
I love that.
No, these two, they are a powerhouse together. And yeah, they're doing it with intention. So thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, we love Wake. We love that we got to talk to you again. And just to be vulnerable on the podcast, this is our second recording.
Yes.
Because as you talk about having lots of failures in business, we had one, but that means that we got to grow and talk to Tyler and Motalisa today.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like we talked about the vulnerability. If I never messed up with a podcast in the past, I would have been like, what? They messed up. They didn't record us, you know? That's why it's so important to go through failure, because that happened to me before. I forgot to hit record or turn the mics on. Mm-hmm. So it's all good, you know?
Yeah.
We in this to get it right, not to be in a race. So.
Right. I love what you said. Don't, like, what are we in a rush for? Like, take your opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But with intention.
Technically, we learned what to do, and now we know how we handle those.
Exactly.
That's what it's about.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys again. We did give you a, hopefully you got to use it.
Yes, we sure did.
We used it the same day.
Good. Well, yeah, they received a Daily Clean and Food gift card. Would you like to shout out our last sponsor?
Daily Clean Food and Drink prides themselves on preparing clean food for the people. Their food and drinks are prepared fresh using local and organic ingredients whenever possible. They believe that what goes in our food and where it comes from matters to the environment, so our community, and to everybody's health. Join us for Daily Food and Drink located on Southwestern Avenue in Sioux Falls.
Ooh, amen.
Yes, yes.
They are amazing.
Yes. So, yeah, thank you again. Where should people reach you if they listen to this and they're like, I want to check out this clothing?
Yeah, you can reach us at www.theyself.co. theyself.co. That's our website. And everything is linked on there. Social media, just scroll down to the bottom. You know, if you want to hit the contact form and reach out to us, feel free to do that too.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again. Blessings to Awake and to you two. And thank you. That thank is you. From the thank Ground you. Up Podcast. Thank you.